I'm your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to Alchemy, the podcast all about building a business on the front lines of the new economy.
Welcome back to this week's episode of Alchemy. Very excited to welcome Jen Martindale. She's the Senior Vice President of Marketing for the Chicago Cubs. Jen, welcome.
Hi, Jeff. I'm so excited to be here with you. I'm honored.
I'm so excited to have you here. And we recently just had an amazing dinner together in Chicago for the Digital Fork. It was so much fun.
So much fun.
And, you know, I'm like, how did I meet you? And now it just occurred to me. I met you through Clive.
Yes.
I love Clive. He's one of my favorite people in the world. And Clive is always introducing me to amazing people. So I'm
honored
to have met you. And I'm honored to have you on the show. So lots to talk about. But before we get into that, Jen, quick background on you. You've got an incredible, but most amazing successful career. You've got 20 years, you know, leading, you know, amazing campaigns for some of the most iconic brands in sports and entertainment. And prior to the Cubs, you were over at the Saints, leading brand strategy. And prior to the Saints, you were also, you know, leading brand strategy for the New Orleans Pelicans. And, you know, you also had a little stint in the food space. So head of brand marketing at Ruby's Slipper Restaurant Group and chief marketing officer at Yerba Buena Center for the Arts. Not to mention your background in the agency world, too.
Yeah, it's a non-linear career, and I'm hearing that that's a cool thing to have now, although a few years ago, I think it kind of, you know, made people look at me a little cockeyed, because I think, you know, on paper, I'm maybe not the candidate you would expect to be running marketing for a professional sports team, but I'm just lucky in that, like, along the way in all these different roles I've had, I've kind of started building this toolkit of skills that surprisingly has served me really well here.
I mean, you certainly have a very diverse background from obviously, you know, working in the agency world to then working in food and beverage to then sports.
Yeah.
What was it that got you into sports?
Yeah. So the New Orleans thing was just a wonderful opportunity that I didn't necessarily manifest it. I think I was just in the right place at the right time. And one family owns both the NFL team and the NBA team in New Orleans. And so that was a unique situation in and of itself, in that there's not many professional sports owners that have more than one pro team. So that was interesting. But yeah, I was working in the food and beverage space, doing work I felt really good about for a couple in New Orleans who, post Hurricane Katrina, had opened what was at the time, you know, a small breakfast restaurant just in an effort to bring their community back after a devastating event. It was their contribution to try to get their neighborhood to rebuild. And it ended up being a highly successful regional restaurant chain that's expanded all across the southeast of the United States now. But anyway, I was doing food and beverage work, loved who I was working for, loved the experience. And I got a call from a headhunter from the NBA about the job, and I actually thought they must have called the wrong person. Like, when she called, I was like, I think you called the wrong person. I'm not even that sporty. And I worked in nonprofit and I worked in, you know, consumer packaged goods, but I've worked in sports. And they said, well, that's actually why we called you. And I think what the New Orleans Saints and New Orleans Pelicans had realized, and many sports teams had, was that they really were lacking diversity of thinking. And there was a lot of people in the sports industry who had only worked in the sports industry. And, you know, the sports industry isn't known necessarily for being on the leading edge from a brand strategy or marketing perspective. And so they realized they were looking for people to perhaps come in and bring some fresh perspective. And I happened to have the freshest perspective, because I had not only not worked in sports, I really hadn't even worked in anything sports adjacent. And so I came in completely, you know, wide-eyed and fresh and frankly, full of questions and ideas. And I think that was good for the organization.
So, important question here. So, because I don't hear an accent. You're not from New Orleans.
No.
You were living in New Orleans.
Yes.
So what brought you to Louisiana?
So I'm born and bred Michigander, actually. And I'm delighted that you say you don't hear an accent, because I feel like I still hear my Michigan Midwestern accent. No, born and raised in Michigan.
Jen, I just heard it for a second and heck, I meant I don't hear any accent from the South. Like, you know.
Oh. You know? Yeah. Well, you know, funny, New Orleans in and of itself doesn't necessarily have a Southern accent. Theirs is almost like a New York accent gone wrong. It's really interesting. So my husband and I had actually been living in the San Francisco Bay Area where he was working at Meta and I was the CMO of a contemporary arts organization. And we were honestly just looking for an escape hatch out of the Bay Area. As much as we loved living there, it was just becoming challenging from a housing perspective, from a commute perspective, and we made the really hard choice to leave. And we put together kind of the short list of markets we'd consider moving to, and it had all the usual suspects of, you know, we could go to Seattle, or we could go to Denver, or we could go to New York, or back to Chicago. And we kind of threw New Orleans on the list as a dark horse. It was just a city we'd always enjoyed visiting. We really loved the culture. And we kind of just said, whoever gets a job in one of these cities first, we're just going to go. And if we hate it, you know, we can always leave. My husband ended up getting a job in New Orleans. And so that's what took us there. And we spent 4.5 years there and just loved the city so much and still go back whenever we can.
Well, the food is incredible. And I don't, are you an oyster lover?
I am. And I know you are my oyster guy. And we haven't had a chance to talk about this yet, but I am an oyster lover.
Good. It's so funny. Last Wednesday, I was on LTV, which I live out in the Hamptons, but it's kind of a local TV out here. And, you know, as you know, I launched South Fork Sea Farmers, which is a nonprofit where we basically have like 200 families growing oysters, which really clean the water. And so I was talking about it on the local TV station, and I had brought all sorts of oysters with me. And one of them was like, I went diving for it in Three Mile Harbor out here, and it was like 3.5-4 pounds, right? I was just talking about how I would never eat this, but I had a friend who's like, I'll eat it. But that's how like all the oysters are down in the South. Like,
oh, they're so big and meaty.
So big. And like, you know, when they're broiled and you've got slops of butter and garlic and
yeah,
it's actually pretty good. But like just the sheer size of them is like, it's not my style. I'm more of a nice petite oyster.
I tend to agree with you. If I'm going to eat them raw, I like the little ones, but I love a grilled oyster down south if I'm going to do it.
Totally. So I definitely wanted to ask you about that. I mean, the food scene is out of this world, but, you know, I was excited that you were coming on the show too, because, you know, in the last month, lots of big things, you know, are coming out of Wrigley Field, you know, and obviously we're very heavily, you know, working in the cannabis and CBD space. Mm-hmm. You guys, you know, announced your first CBD partnership, which was major news.
It was. So we are the first MLB team to have an official CBD partner, which is Mind. They make CBD beverages, so functional beverages made from hemp. And we are delighted that they are on board. We're learning a lot about the category. It's been warmly received so far. So yeah, early days, but it's very exciting.
So great. And so now, they're going to be a sponsor. Like, could you also buy the drink in the stadium?
We're working on that. We're working on that right now.
Cool. Mm-hmm. I love it. I mean, listen, first mover is great. And, you know, there's been a lot of those kind of first movers too. I mean, literally you guys announced that. And then also the NBA, you know, also kind of reached a deal in the same month, last month, that players could actually smoke weed, right? It's no longer prohibited.
That's right. That's right. And I think that I wouldn't be surprised if we see other leagues fast following on that.
Well, I think I saw something about the NHL also,
you know,
ended their cannabis, what do you want to call it, detention for athletes. So it's no longer, you know, a banned substance, which is great, you know?
Yeah.
But I think, listen, I think on the sports side, it's just like you have so many people that are utilizing cannabis, whether it's cannabis creams or even, you know, tinctures for, you know, muscle pain and, you know, injuries. Like it's good for them. So a lot of these folks too might even do it just to kind of blow up some steam. So I'm glad that the leagues have started to realize that this is, you know, it's okay. Right.
Right. That's right. I mean, we're excited to see what the future holds. I mean, I bet we could talk about this ad nauseum, and I'd love to hear your thoughts, but like, I'm excited about what is the 5-year horizon with cannabis in sports, and what are we really going to start seeing get unlocked?
I think we're going to see a lot. And a lot of products are going to come out of this as well. But anyway, let's talk about the cups. So from running marketing over there, right? You know, it's different from if you're, let's just say, running marketing for a CPG or a product, right? So talk to us a little bit about, from a strategy perspective, what do you think about when you're creating marketing strategies, in particular for a sports team, right? And I'm sure there's a load of challenges that come along with that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think the thing that is both exhilarating and hard when you're marketing a sports team is that the depth of the emotion tied up in it. And I know as marketers, we trick ourselves into believing that there's an emotional reason behind every purchase that people make and that people have an emotional connection to every brand. And they might have some surface level emotional connection, but the depth of emotion tied into people's relationships with sports is so specific. And trying to figure out how to honor that, I think, is really tricky, because this is certainly a sector where we have to respect the fan and be able to empathize with them and put ourselves in their shoes and how they're feeling about the team at any given moment. It reminds me a lot, though, honestly, of working on a retail piece of business, because a lot of our time is spent reacting to market dynamics, and sometimes those are out of our control, right? So I can't control the product on the field. So, you know, I have to react to how that product is performing and tailor my marketing communications accordingly. I can't control if it rains on game day, even though Wrigley Field is best experienced on a Friday afternoon, 75 degrees, you know, partly cloudy. It's not fully sun.
I mean, yeah, you're in Chicago. Especially in the spring, you never know what you're going to get. You might get sleet, you might get hail, you might get snow, you might get a thunderstorm. It might be 75.
That's right. That's right. How do we portray the aspirational brand experience, knowing that things are often out of our control? And I did see you on opening day that evening, and it was cold.
Well, you know, it was, oh my God, not only cold, actually, it snowed that morning.
Yeah.
It snowed that morning, and then actually, when we had dinner, there must have been a warm front that moved through, because it went from 30 to like 56 in a matter of 4 hours, right? And I remember when we left dinner, I'm like, wow, it's really warm out. It was like warm and foggy. But that was like what was that? That was March, April, what is this?
It's March 30th.
It was March 30th, right? So it was a month ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was literally like every single season in that week that I was in Chicago. It was crazy.
Yeah, so, you know, can't control the weather, but, you know, we respond to it. And I think, you know, my husband, who is also in the marketing business, and I talk a lot about the fact that every brand has fans, but damn, like there's no brand fandom like in sports. It's really cool.
So let's talk a little bit about your fans, right? So obviously from a marketing perspective, like I would imagine, and I don't want to make an assumption, but, you know, your job really is, you know, retaining and growing your current fan base, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I've worked with a lot of different clubhouses, you know, throughout the years, and, you know, also have worked directly with the MLB. I know it's somewhat of a touchy subject, because like things have to go through the MLB, right? And then kind of trickle back. And so, like, how do you think about that? Like, when you want to connect and reach with your fans and also acquire new ones, you know, how do you go about doing that?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's an excellent question. I guess I would say, to me, it all starts with, you know, the MLB has a specific job to do, and I think they're doing an excellent job, by the way, and that is to grow the sport of baseball. And I think they are doing some really smart things from a brand perspective in terms of how they're marketing the sport right now, as well as a baseball operations perspective and how they're, you know, evolving the rules of the game to grow the sport. But at the end of the day, it's an inherently, you know, local sport in that we're trying to get people to support the Chicago Cubs. We're lucky in that Chicago Cubs are one of maybe two teams that have a truly national footprint, and that's from the, you know, decades of Chicago being broadcast on WGN, which was one of the original superstations. If you remember those back in the 80s, WGN Chicago was one and WTBS out of Atlanta was the other. And so because of WGN being broadcast across the country, you have generations of people who grew up coming home from school and watching Cubs games, whether they lived in Chicago or whether they frankly lived in New Orleans. So you have pockets of Cubs fans all across the country, and then you also have pockets of Braves fans, which is really interesting. So that aside, we're really trying to grow, you know, the Chicago Cubs up and out of Chicago. And I think that one of the biggest things I work on day to day is thinking about how do we respect and continue to deepen our engagement with our current fans, but start to cultivate that next generation. And when you look at the things that we're competing with inside sports and outside of sports, like that is, you know, a tough row to hoe. That is us competing not just with games, you know, like NBA, which is very celebrity driven, or NFL, which really dominates TV for several months out of the year. We're also competing with non-sports activities, and we're seeing less kids playing sports these days. So how do we bridge the generational gap, for lack of a better word, and start to bring in that like really coveted, you know, young adult demographics? That's something we spend a lot of time thinking about.
So, Jen, really interesting stat that my marketing team just literally sent me. This is pretty interesting. And I think, you know, obviously us just talking about the whole thing of you guys now, you know, allowing CBD sponsorships, get this. So I'm looking at this data right here. So there's a huge overlap, right, between cannabis consumers and sports fans. And so the numbers that I'm looking at right here, this is pretty crazy, actually, says that 40 million cannabis consumers watch sports on TV, and they're 37% more likely to spend $300 or more on team apparel. That's
wow.
Wild. So kind of given that stat, which I just pulled up here, which I think is incredible, you know, these are obviously what we call progressive audience, right? Mm-hmm. These are kind of the norm, right? This is moving forward. Like these are everyday people, you know, mm-hmm. has gone into mainstream.
Mm-hmm. Like, wow. Love that.
Kind of hearing that those stats and like looking at numbers, like what do you think about that as the sports industry becomes more and more on board with cannabis acceptance?
Well, I literally wrote it down as you were saying it, just so you know, because I was like, oh, I'm going to share that with more people outside of my office space. You know, I think it's really an interesting insight that I personally maybe wouldn't have guessed myself. I feel like that's really interesting in terms of thinking about how they're experiencing sports as a wind down or as perhaps a way to get, you know, to be stimulated and excited. I'd be really curious to dig into that a little bit more in terms of that relationship between cannabis and sports. Are they doing it at the same time or are they just happen to be doing both at different times of the day? So there's some stuff there I'd like to know more about to unlock.
Imagine though, like it's probably different times because like I've been to a lot of games before. And recently, too, like, I generally don't, it happens, but I generally don't smell weed at a baseball game.
And you're not.
Well, times are changing, right?
Getting the right seats.
Do you smell it a lot at the stadium?
Not necessarily at Wrigley Field, but at plenty of games.
Yeah, okay. yeah, I haven't smelled it yet. But, you know, I live in New York, so, like, recreational cannabis just came legal this year. And it's, like, even before it was legal in New York.
Yeah.
Oh, a single block without smelling.
Oh, I know. I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about like in stadium, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, anything that you guys are doing as far as like connecting with fans in more of a interactive or innovative way, you know, there's mm-hmm. I see all sorts of fun things like you see in the NHL with the Kiss Cam and, you know, there's all sorts of, everyone's trying to, you know, shake things up a little bit.
Yeah.
Anything you guys are doing?
Well, I would say something that's really a fun challenge working on the Chicago Cubs is keeping in mind that we're a heritage brand. We're the second oldest team. We are going to be celebrating our 150th anniversary in 2026. And so as a franchise, you know, we have this deep history and tradition. And I think there's a healthy tension between that and how we innovate. So like the closest avatar I can come up with is Disney World, right? Like when you go to Disney World, there's some very specific touchstones there that have been there for decades, if not longer, and you don't necessarily know if you're in the 1970s or the 2020s based on how they're presenting certain elements of the experience. But then they use technology and innovation so smartly to remove friction from your experience, right? And to make it more pleasurable. And so I think that's the dance we do at the Cubs, is thinking about how do we respect the timelessness of the brand and the experience of coming to Wrigley Field, but not sacrificing smart innovation as part of that. And so we have some interesting things that we're talking about doing that I'm not prepared to necessarily unveil today. But I would just say it's a healthy tension, and we're excited about figuring out how to balance it.
Cool. So, you know, I have some quick fire questions for you, but before we get to those, anything you want to talk about, maybe anything you guys are working on that you're excited about?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few things. Right now, I can't quite see it from my office window, but I can see it from down the hall. DraftKings is going to be opening a sports book here at Wrigley Field later summer. And I think that's one of those healthy tensions I was talking about in terms of how do we start to enhance the fan experience and bring them new ways to interact with us, but do in a way that's mindful of the Cubs brand. And so we're excited to have DraftKings as a tenant here and bring that sports book to life.
Cool. That's it. Very exciting.
It is.
Very exciting. All sorts of fun stuff with compliance and regulation.
Of course.
Okay, so Jen, quick fire questions. Super easy. Okay?
Okay. I'm still a little nervous.
Okay, so first question. So if you could trade jobs with any Cubs player just for a day, who would it be?
With any Cubs player?
Yeah, just for the day.
Okay, yeah. I would trade places with Nico Horner because he's having a hell of a season so far, and he is our second baseman.
And so Nico is going to be running marketing for the day.
Yes, he'd be great at it. He's a wonderful ambassador for the team, very sharp, Bay Area guy, really gets it.
Okay, I love it. Now, let's talk about food.
Okay.
So if you were a hot dog... And you had to choose between being covered in ketchup or mustard.
Which one would you choose?
Chicago girl, never ketchup.
Never.
Never.
Isn't that so interesting, right? Like, I actually never have ketchup either on a hot dog. But I know a lot of people that do.
That is sacrilegious in Chicago, to put ketchup on a hot dog.
Wow.
Yeah, can't do it.
Yeah. I love ketchup and I love mustard, but like, hot dogs are for mustard and... ketchup is for burgers. I don't like mustard on my burger, actually.
Yeah, I'm kind of indifferent to it on the burger, but I usually say, like, mustard is for hot dogs and ketchup is for french fries.
True.
True. Same, of the same mind with you on that.
Okay, last question. So if you can pick a song, any song, to play every time you entered a room, what would it be?
Oh my gosh, it's so funny that you say this. Someone asked me this question literally like 2 weeks ago. And I would just say, just because it gets me pumped up every time I enter the room, my walk-up music would be Cardi B, Bodak Yellow.
I love it. well, listen, Jen, it was great to have you on the show. Lots of great things happening over there, exciting updates, and always a pleasure. And yeah, it was great to see you in person, and it's great to have you on. I'm looking forward to a great season.
Yeah, me too. And I look forward to us splitting some oysters sometime in the near future.
Literally, I'm going to ship you oysters.
Oh my gosh. Don't you dare. I'd be delighted.
We're going to Zoom and we'll do some taste tests together.
Okay, I would love that.
All right, Jen Martindale, Senior Vice President of Marketing of the Chicago Cubs. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Jeff.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.